Amen. I want to preach this morning a sermon that I've entitled Do Unto Others. We live in a world where the general rule of thumb is do to others before they do it to you. A world that is selfish, self-seeking, with most people only looking out generally after their own interests, accumulating possessions, accumulating careers, lands, houses, positions, material things. Pretty much we live in a dog-eat-dog society, don't we? But Jesus has called you and I, as believers, to be of a different spirit. We're called to serve. We're called to put Christ first in our lives and do unto others as we would have other people do to us. Luke 6:31 reflects those very words. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The greatest commandment, after love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, is the commandment to love your neighbour as yourself. Or in other words, treat others as you would like to be treated. You and I, in our actions, in our deeds, in our choices in life, need to consider not just ourselves, but we need to consider the needs of others. We also need to treat others, as it says, as we would like to be treated. Because that's what God expects of us to do. In Philippians 2 and verse 4 it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Often, love your neighbour as yourself is often referred to as the golden rule. And in fact, the whole law and commandments are founded upon this commandment, aren't they really? In Galatians 5 and verse 13 through to 15 it says this, for you brethren have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. We are called to love. And in fact, love not just the people that we love or like, but also the ones who don't love or like us. And I want to look really today at what is the crux of the whole law really, that commandment to love your neighbour as yourself. That's what all the law and commandments were built upon, as the scripture just said. And every commandment that we read in the Bible is rooted on those two commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. If the world was to function according to those two commandments, we'd be living in a utopian society where everybody considered everybody else. But unfortunately, in this wicked, selfish and fallen world, selfishness overrides loving our neighbour as ourself. Selfishness, in fact, is the biggest cause of the world's problems. People looking after their own interests, but not considering the interests of others. But the scripture tells you and I to be different, doesn't it? To look out not just for our own interests, but also consider the interests of others. See, in the church, we are all part of one body. We are brothers and sisters. We are part of God's family. God being our heavenly Father, we are his children. We are the people of his pasture. We are brethren. And Jesus gave us a new commandment, in fact, in the New Testament, to love one another. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we're called to love one another, to serve one another. And this love that Jesus speaks of is not just a feeling, but it's something that we do. It's a love that acts. And Jesus demonstrated that kind of love. I'm going to read from John 13, where he makes an absolute example of what that really means. It says there from verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, "Well, for so I am." If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So Jesus is here setting out a clear example to his disciples of what service actually means in practice, of what it means to love one another, that we serve one another. If our Lord and our Master was prepared to humble himself, to wash his disciples' feet, but go even further than that, he humbled himself to go to the cross of Calvary for you and I. How much more do we need to serve one another and humble ourselves to serve one another? You see, when we say we serve God by serving one another in the body of Christ. Too many Christians live a selfish life, just wanting to have their own needs met. They don't consider the needs of others. They don't consider helping and serving when it's inconvenient for them or when it's too much hassle for them. But you and I, we are called by God to go above and beyond that. We're called to lay down even our lives for the brethren, to be willing to sacrifice for each other. Jesus said, didn't he? "Whatever you do for the least of these, my brethren, we do to him." When we're serving each other, we're serving the Lord. When we're giving to each other, we're giving to the Lord. When we're sacrificing for each other, we're sacrificing for the Lord. Because whatever we do to the least of our brethren, we do unto him. We're called to serve. We're called to treat each other with kindness, with love, with honour. Treating each other as better than ourselves. Treating one another how we would like to be treated. Remembering that we're all part of one body. Philippians 2:1-8 says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This really sums up what our mindset needs to be in Christ. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or pride. Our motives are everything, aren't they? We need the mind of Christ. Let each esteem others better than himself, honouring one another, being of lowliness of mind. Too many are spiritually proud, exalting themselves above others, looking down their noses at others who are less fortunate than themselves. Looking out, it says, not only for our own interest, but the interest of others. How much of that is practiced in the body of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is why we need our minds renewing, to learn and to think as he thinks. Jesus did not consider it robbery, it says, to be equal with God, but it says he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death. And yet he's the King of Kings, the Creator God, but he was prepared to serve as a man, to be, take the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. And we're called to imitate him in our minds, in our attitudes, in our actions. You and I, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We've been called to serve God by demonstrating his love through service to one another. Matthew 24, 45 to 51 says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What Jesus is trying to explain there is that the way we treat others, we should treat others the way we would like to be treated. This is how God measures our faithfulness, by the way we treat our fellow servants. The unfaithful servant began, it says, to beat his fellow servants. In other words, mistreating them. He went back to his carnal life of partying with the drunkards. You know, God has treated you and I with great mercy, with great kindness, with great grace. And we need to be like-minded in the way we treat others, remembering how much we've been forgiven. You know, the measure that we mete out to others is going to be measured to us. If we're harsh, uncaring and unforgiving of our fellow servants, God will deal with us in like manner. That's a warning to us all, isn't it? Serving others can be inconvenient. We don't always feel like serving other people. Sometimes we're so caught up in our own situation and our own troubles that we don't want to or feel we can't make time for other people's troubles and situations. But sometimes we have to put our own troubles to one side so we can give time for other people's problems and troubles. Sometimes we have to put aside our needs in order to meet the needs of others. We need that servant's heart, don't we? Jesus had a servant's heart. He never stopped serving, did he? Even when he was tired and weary at the well, he still made time for people, didn't he? He came as a servant. This was one of his attributes. You know, when you and I gave our life to Christ, we're not our own. We've been bought, haven't we, with that precious price. We belong to him. We're his bondservant. And he's called us to a life of service. That's what we need to do. Now, in order to do that, there's something that we do need. We need God's Spirit at work in us, because the only way we can have the right heart and the right attitude is by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own attributes, can we? Our own skills. We need the power of God daily. If we're going to treat others the way we're meant to treat them, according to Scripture, we need something of God. We need the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Mercy, goodness, kindness, patience, hospitality, generosity, giving, righteousness, not showing him impartiality, either to the rich or the poor. Fairness, equity, justice, all those things. These are qualities of God. God is impartial. God doesn't show favouritism, does he? God is generous. God is giving. God is righteous. God is patient. God is kind. God is merciful. God is good towards us. God defends the oppressed, to the poor and the widow. And when he asks these things of us, he gives us the power to perform it, doesn't he? Thanks be to God this morning. It doesn't just depend on you and I. There is an element in our choice that we have to make to deny ourselves. There is that picking up of the cross daily, because that's what it takes, you know, because what we're doing is saying, not my will, Lord, but your will be done when we serve. We're doing it, hopefully, unto the Lord. When we serve others, we're doing it unto the Lord. As Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. So when we serve others, it's as though we're serving him. It's his body that we serve, the church. And even done to the least, we're doing it unto him. But if we mistreat one another, we're not displaying the fruit of the Spirit, are they? If we bite and devour one another, as it says, we're acting just in the flesh like carnal men. In that parable we've just read, the wicked servant began to beat his fellow servants. But we're called to be as our Father in heaven, aren't we? God takes you and I far further as well than just loving one another. It's not easy what God requires, because, you know, Jesus went far beyond the commandment of just loving your neighbour. In Matthew 5:43, he said this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." You see, we're called to do good, even to those who don't do good back to us. Our natural way of acting and behaving when someone mistreats us, or when someone's unjust towards us, or when someone's even wicked towards us, is that we want to get revenge. We want to hate and despise them. We want them to be judged and punished. We're angry at them. And these things are all normal human emotions when we've been hurt. But in this life, the reality is we're going to get treated badly at times. In this life, we're going to be misunderstood at times. In this life, we're going to come across wicked people who don't actually deserve to be treated well. But remember that, as Jesus said, God sends his sun, and he's speaking about the sun in the sky, to shine on the wicked and the righteous, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. What he's saying here is that God is good even to those who don't deserve it, even to the evil and the unjust, and he expects you and I to be of the same mindset. He makes the point that if you only love those who love you, what are you doing that's any different to what the world out there does? Even the sinners love their own, don't they? If you only love the people that you like and the people that you get along with, then you're no different than anybody else in this world, because the world loves its own. You're not displaying anything that's abnormal. Even the wicked do that. What he's saying is that the love of God goes far beyond that, because God is good even to the unjust and the evil. And he expects you and I to be of the same mind. He said, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." That's what we're called to. when it says that. Do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. That goes beyond standard human love. You know, it's irrelevant what the other person has done to us. We still need to treat them in the way we would like to be treated, even if they've not done the same or reciprocated that love back towards us. That's what the Bible terms as perfect love. That's a love that goes beyond this world's love. To love your enemies, to pray for those that abuse you and persecute you and mistreat you. That's a love that goes beyond anything that we can do. And that's what Jesus demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. He died not just for the so-called righteous. He died for all men, for the sinners and the wicked and the evil. God so loved the world. The world includes everyone, the good and the bad, because all men are sinners, aren't they? All men need God's grace. All men need God's mercy. The Bible says we should bless those who curse us, pray for those who use us and persecute us, do good to those who hate us. That's a hard one, isn't it? But just remember, at one time you and I, we cursed God. We hated God. At one time we were enemies of the cross. We probably used to persecute and mock Christians in our thoughts and words, if not our deeds. And yet God had mercy on us, didn't he? And he forgave us all our debt. And we too are called to be merciful. It says in the Bible, with the measure you meet, it will be measured to you. And this is the thing. If we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. If we measure out bitterness, why should we be forgiven? With the measure you meet, God said, that will be measured to you. See, we need to reflect God's character and God's nature. That's what you and I are called to become more and more Christ-like, to reflect the image of Christ in our lives, so that when people see us, they see something of the Spirit, something of his nature, that we would demonstrate that we are partakers of the divine nature. You know, God is good to the righteous and the unrighteous, to the good and to the wicked. God gives us grace. Grace means he gives us the good things that we don't deserve. And he also gives us mercy. Mercy means he doesn't give us what we do deserve. Because truth is, what do any of us deserve this morning other than hell? But we need to be like our Heavenly Father, not just doing good to those we love, but also to those that we don't. To those even that mistreat and persecute us, by showing mercy to them. And we need to be a people within the church who forgive one another. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. Serving others and doing good to others, it costs us, doesn't it? You know, there is a price to be paid in this. It comes at a cost. But Jesus has paid the price for us. It can cost us time. It can cost us heartache and pain and rejection, cost us money, it can cost us everything. And yet that's what we're called to give our all, to give everything to the Lord, every part of our lives. We are his bond servants. We're called to serve. Too many in our rich, comfortable Western society as a Christian live just to become comfortable in our own little bubble. Forget that what we've been put on this earth to do, to serve others, to get the message of the gospel out there to the lost, that they might have a chance at God's mercy, that they might have a chance of salvation, that they might be given that opportunity to turn from their wicked ways and turn to the Lord and be saved. That's what we're here for, isn't it? Not just here for the fun of it, but we're here to serve God. That doesn't mean that we neglect our own interests and needs as well. You know, we have our lives and responsibilities. But our priority number one needs to be the kingdom of God in all that we do. Day in, day out, we want a heart that wants to serve God. And in so doing, serves others. Because it's not just about us, is it? It's about God working through us to reach others and to serve others and to bless others. And to help others and to give others opportunity to be reconciled to God. It says somewhere in the scripture, we've received a ministry of reconciliation. That his spirit can work through us, the church. That's what the church is on earth to do. To display the attributes of God. to display that perfect image and reflection of who he is, to be lit like a city on a hill, letting our light shine before men so that the world can look at the church and hopefully see Christ, and not be like that wicked servant who started beating his fellow servants because his master was delaying his return. Living that example of Jesus washing one another's feet, serving one another, ministering to one another, not just leaving it all to the man at the front, not just coming to warm the seat on a Sunday morning to get your own needs met, but being willing to give and serve and minister and sacrifice our labour, our time, our resources, both within the church and without the church, to serve God. Because church doesn't stop outside this building on a Sunday. We need to be living for God 7 days a week, don't we? 24 hours a day. We're going to come into contact in our lives with all kinds of people, good and bad, righteous and wicked, but we need to treat them all as we would like to be treated, with mercy, with kindness, with patience. Boy, oh boy, do we need patience. I need patience. You know, there's times certainly in my life when I lose patience with people. It's frustrating sometimes when you see how people act and think. But we're not perfect, are we? We've got to learn to hand it to the Lord. Sometimes we have to bite our tongue in life, and that's not always easy. But sometimes we also have to confront things and say things that we really don't want to have to say, because it's going to make things inconvenient for us. Because then we'll have to actually act and do and give time for these people. And that costs us. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to give up our rights, our conveniences, our comforts, so that we can meet the needs of others? Because that's what it's going to take. Giving up your rights and your comfort and your convenience. You know, there's a lot of Christians get so far in the Christian life and think, well, you know what, I've done my bit for the Lord now. I'm spiritually retired. Here's the thing this morning. There's no such thing as spiritual retirement. We're in God's service to the end. People think, oh, it's the young ones' generation's turn now, I'm taking my rest. No, we're called to serve till the day we die. We're called to endure till the end. Not just till we get comfortable, but till the end. There's never a point while we're in this mortal coil where we can say we don't need to pick up the cross anymore. We don't need to give anymore. We don't need to serve anymore. We've done our bit. We've earned our rest. We've done our work for the Lord. You know what? Our work for the Lord isn't done until he calls us home. And only at that point is our work for the Lord done, when he decides it's time to enter our rest. In the meantime, we need to be a people who are willing to give, serve, take up our cross daily, be compassionate to one another, merciful, to have empathy. That's something that's sadly lacking these days. We're very quick to judge others, but unless we've walked in their shoes, it's said, isn't it, never judge a man till you've walked in his shoes. We need to be very careful when we make judgments that they're based on actual evidence and facts, not just on presuppositions or opinions or prejudices or our own ideas and opinions. We need to be a people who are integrous, not treating people with favouritism or impartiality. We need to be impartial. Often people treat people differently according to their social status, according to how much money they've got or they've not got. But we need to treat all men the same, rich and poor. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Not to have any favouritism. There is no favouritism in God's kingdom. We're all part of the body of Christ. Each one of us is just as precious in the Lord's sight, just as important, and we're called to serve and love one another, being willing to pay the price, whatever it takes, to serve the Lord. The good news is that he gives us the power to do that. He renews our mind. He gives us strength. He helps us in all our trials. We're born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power that we need so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. We need that divine nature working in us, because that's the only way we can fulfill the Spirit and the Word of the Scriptures. To love not just those who love us, but to love the unlovely, to love the people that actually get on our nerves, to love the people that don't like us, to love the people that mistreat us and lie about us, and treat them still with the goodness that God treats us with. to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. That is what we're called to. And we're striving for perfection, aren't we? We're not perfect yet, and we often get it wrong. Even in our own families, sometimes we snap at each other and we say things we regret. We get grumpy. You know, just ask my wife. But we're called to be like Christ. We have to pick up that cross. Even when we get misunderstood and mistreated, we still need to act the way the Lord would have us act. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning.